All right, we're in Acts 13. I guess I ought to go the other way. Now, Acts 13.
What a name pronouncing that.
Well, I mean to tell you. I wanted to do Acts 13 because 13 is my favorite number. You know, and it's really good. It's really great. I love Acts because they were bold. They were bold. Verse 1 says, now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, and Mahan, which had been brought with Herod, brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. I had forgotten that. And Saul, or Paul. And they ministered to the Lord. They fasted and fasted. The Holy Ghost said to separate Barnabas and Saul to the work whereunto I have called them. I always like watching this. Before they do anything, they always fasted and prayed. They always fasted and prayed and wanted to know what God had wanted, what He had to say about it. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being set forth by the Holy Spirit, not by the other apostles, departed unto. Yes. Thank you. I was fixing to mispronounce it. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Okay. Well, now they're headed on their way to do what God called them to do. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They had also John to their minister. And I guess John originally was the overseer. I couldn't really find nothing about it, but they said that he was their minister. I guess he kind of took them under their wings for a while to see how they were going to do. And when they had gone through the Isles of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. How would you like to have Bar-Jesus for a name? Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Apollos, a prudent man, who called Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. In other words, this guy was seeking. He apparently heard about them when they came into the land, because he was seeking them out. But Elymas, the sorcerer that was the interpretation of the name, I guess, of where they actually lived. Or else it was the name that he took because he didn't want, because of the other one being Jesus. Who knows? Seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Well, in other words, he had attached himself to somebody of authority in that country. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. The man didn't have to say a word. Lord Jesus didn't have to say a word. Paul knew it immediately in the spirit who he was. And said, oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the way of the Lord? So he was with this lawman, and he was teaching him his stuff. But apparently lawman wasn't having it. or was listening to him, you know, trying to get so that he could, so this guy could have, I guess you could say, you know, authority, make him look better because he's with a police officer or person. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind and not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. I thought that I was sitting there and I read that over and over, and I said, man, Paul caused him to go blind, and there you go. Go on your way. Didn't do nothing. But, I mean, he, you know. You knew Paul was strong in the spirit. You knew he was. He's to see that. And then he had authority in the spirit. He knew it immediately when he saw him. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So all that, the Lord allowed all that to happen so that one man could be saved because he was seeking God. And that's awesome. And then Paul and company decided to go to Patmos. They came to Perga, and then that other word.
Really?
I've been practicing that for 3 days. And John departed from them to return to Jerusalem. So now their pastor left. Because you go back and read, he was the one over them. But when they departed from Pergola, they came to Antioch, Poseidon, and went into the synagogue on the seventh day and sat down. And after the reading of the law, the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue, sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Well, Paul stands up, basically tells everybody, listen, you know, pay attention, listen to me. And said, men of Israel, ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. And they did, because of Joseph. They were put in the best of the land in Egypt. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel. That's a long time. And after that, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, and a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And Saul wasn't a good king. He was all about himself. All about himself. He built monuments all over Israel to himself. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also the Lord gave testimony about this. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And that's actually in Psalms 89:20, and I think in 1 Samuel 13:14. That he was going to fulfill all of that. David was. Of this man's seed, God, according to the promise, raised unto Israel a Savior Jesus. And when John had preached his coming, preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, "Whom do you think I am? I'm not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of my feet I am not worthy to loose." And if you go back and read when Jesus got baptized, that was shortly after that when, can't think of his name, Herod had him arrested and ended up cutting his head off. Because once he baptized Jesus, it was done. And most people don't realize that before, because a lot of people don't read the Old Testament, before a priest could ever get before, you know, get before the altar or anything, they had to bathe and put on, you know, what they, their sacred clothing. "And God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt." Okay. And then it talks about how he destroyed seven nations. They don't talk about Joseph, but that's all right. How he destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan. And he divided the land among them. And afterwards, they desired a king, which we got through that. See, man, when John had, yeah. And John, it is John fulfilled his course. He said, "Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. Behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes I'm not, of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." In other words, what they're saying is that it was sent, you get the first choice with Christ. "For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers became, they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they had fulfilled them in condemning him." They read it every day and didn't get it. They read it every day before the people and didn't get it because of their pride. Because they were the leaders. They were the ones that controlled, you know, other than the yeah. And they did. They told them what they can and can't do, how to do it, da 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 da. "And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain." They wanted to. They couldn't even do it themselves. They had to have someone else do it for them. He was been with them all this time. They've been wanting to kill him, but oh no, they had to have Pilate do it for them. Me, that's being a coward. "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher," or as we would say, a grave. "But God raised him from the dead." Hallelujah. "And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee of Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And he declared unto you good tidings, how that promise which was made unto our fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalms, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And concerning that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise," and the corruption can also mean decay, "I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not see thy Holy One to see corruption. In other words, Jesus died, and even, there's even a place in the Word where it says he raised himself from the grave. Now his, that body died, but that spirit didn't. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption, no decay down in that grave. 3 days, he was, when he come out, he was exactly the way he was when he went in. By him, all that believe are justified from all things, which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That act that he did justified us. That doesn't make us perfect, but we're justified because of what Christ did for us. That death on the cross and that burial and resurrection, that allows us to be justified when we receive him. Beware therefore unless that come upon you which is spoken of the prophet. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall not in no wise believe, though a man declared unto you. I'm glad I wasn't a Pharisee or one of them other leaders. Because he just said right there, they're not going to be saved. They're too proud. They wanted to be the leaders. They wanted to be the ones that control the people. They wanted to be the ones that supposedly gets them saved and not saved, you know. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So apparently they could hear what was being said outside that place because they were waiting on it. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. That's awesome. And the proselytes are non-Jew converted people that have converted to Judaism. That's why they were outside, because they weren't allowed to be in synagogue. And Jews will not, anything that's outside their quote-unquote Jewish deal, they can't associate with us. And it's sad. Even today, they're that way. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And this... But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming.
Oh my.
Blaspheming, because they were jealous because the people, the Gentiles, wanted to hear what Paul had to say.
Oh, yeah.
He had a mighty spirit of God on him because people were drawn to him. Everywhere he went, he had thousands of people, you know, converted. I mean, because he's just, he, of course, he was appointed by God himself. And then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be have spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judged yourselves unworthily of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They stirred it up so bad that the apostles, all the people that was with Paul, said, "We're done. We're done with you guys. You want to be leaders and all this, but you won't accept the truth. Can't accept the truth. You want to be the one that, you know, basically teaches everybody and all this, but you're going to teach it to where they fall before you and not Christ." So hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And that's all of us. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light unto the Gentiles. We're Gentiles, we can be a light to our own people. That thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to enter eternal life believed. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. Isn't that sad? It's just sad. Yeah. Because they wasn't the ones that were doing it. So, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, just like Jesus told them to do when he sent out the 72. If they don't take care of them, you get that dust, because it's going to be worse for them than it was Sodom and Gomorrah. Get that dust off of you. You don't want to carry that trash around with you. And as the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I like this chapter because they didn't back down. They stood up for Jesus Christ. They stood up. And when they realized that the Jewish leaders, because that's what they were in the synagogue, they were Jewish leaders, were not going to bow to Christ, was not going to receive Christ, wasn't, you know, and everything. And I like the part where they read it every day, but did not understand what it said. Did not understand, because it was more about them being the big guys than Christ.
Yeah.
And the Lord, Lord's called all of us. And one thing we have to remember, we're not perfect. We won't ever be perfect until we get in heaven, until we get resurrected bodies. And that we do something wrong, ask for forgiveness. If you hurt somebody, you ask for forgiveness, whatever, and you just keep on going. You keep testifying of Christ. You keep talking to people. I'm telling you, don't be afraid to talk about Christ in public. They've been pushing that down since the 90s in this country. I'd like following politics, so I keep my mouth shut, but there's a lot of stuff that's happened in this country that was caused by a lot of the people in Washington, D.C. I remember when the churches in the 90s is when they started attacking the churches, trying to find, you know, problems wrong so they could shut them down. Lord interfered, because not a single one of them got shut down. And that's what the enemy does. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy, mainly, he don't care about our bodies. He wants to destroy our souls. He's wanting our souls, because if he can destroy our souls, he's got us. But if we have Jesus Christ in there, we have everything. And like I said Sunday, don't ever be afraid to talk to somebody about Christ. Don't ever be afraid of that. If they don't listen, you just keep right on walking. The one place in the Bible that says if they don't listen, just wipe the dust off your feet and move on, basically. But the people out there need Jesus. And there's a lot of churches in this country, they don't teach Jesus. They've taken this and totally twisted it. But anyway, Jesus is Lord, and he's in control. Every day I surrender to him. Every morning, Lord, help me surrender my life to you. Because I know what I want to do, and that's not, I know what my flesh likes. Anyway, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for everything, Lord. We ask you to protect your people and raise us up, Lord. Don't let us be afraid to talk about Christ or the Word, no matter where we're at, Lord. We have that right through you. You're the one that gave us the boldness, because that's what we need in this lifetime right now. We need to be bold to standing up for your righteousness, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thy God. And we know the true leader of this world. We know the true person that created it. We know that person. And we say in Jesus' name that indigestion is going to leave your body right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. We hope to bring Nelda home tomorrow.
Okay. Good. Right. Who was this? Oh. Lord, you know who she is, and you know her family, Lord God. You use this, Lord, so that you can have a doorway into their lives, Lord, so they can heal. They can be healed from this, because it always hurts to lose a loved one, Lord. It always hurts. No matter who they are, it hurts, because we know that physically, we will never see them again. But we ask you, O Lord, to use this for somebody, to expound Jesus Christ to them if they don't know them, know you or not, Lord. And we ask you, O Lord, the dreams, visions, whatever, Lord, so that they can say yes to you in this hour, Lord, because time is short. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.